Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Introduce my son, Carl Four.
My honor to meet you, gentlemen.
Most logical. If the flow of time is reversed, then one is born at an old age and dies in infancy. Your descendants are born before you, and your ancestors are born after you.
Then the young child in the playpen.
My father, Captain.
We could remain forever awed with the differences between our universes, Carla Five. But we must discover a way to return to our positive matter universe.
Exactly the problem I have been working on since Carla informed me of your troubles, Captain Kirk.
It's got Star Trek.
Yeah, sure.
The animated series.
Sure, let's say it's got Star Trek.
Let's say it a few times.
We'll say that we've...
Well, we can say it once.
Oh, no. It's got Star Trek, saying it one time is sufficient. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast, I suppose.
My honor to meet you, gentlemen.
Okay.
I love that guy.
All right.
Who was that guy?
That was Carl Four.
That was, yes.
Oh.
Played by Jimmy Doohan.
That guy.
All right. We got a lot to get through tonight.
Exactly.
Is he related to Gary Seven?
Who? Jimmy Doohan or Carl Five? Or what was... No,
it was Carl Four.
No, it was Carla Five.
Carla Five.
Fucking Carl Four.
Lame-ass episode.
Okay, we'll get to that. Jesse's giving a preview of his view. Dan's looking like he's going the opposite direction here. But he's going to keep it. He's going to keep it to himself.
I don't know.
I'm not. I'm going to say
guys,
shit.
Look, guys. Let's say hello.
Hello,
Dan.
What is all this equipment?
All right, Dan's going to say hello with clips. Hello. It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
My honor to meet you, gentlemen.
It happens to be. Episode 148. No.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
I don't know why I keep doing this.
No, Sarah.
You did that the last time.
I did. It's episode 2.
That's a course of self-destruction.
For real, dude. Are you okay?
It's got to work.
Self-destruction.
It's 200.
It's got, yeah, it's got
episode.
To work.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Oh, Robert.
Welcome to episode 248.
Tractor beam.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes, Carla Five.
We got a few cases of the gigglies going on this evening. Okay.
Just a few.
It's Got Star Trek. It's number 1, 2, 203.
Oh, no.
Success.
We are discussing this week. We're a little excited because we are discussing...
The Ultimates.
The Ultimate episode of Star Trek TAS, the series finale.
Exactly.
Of Star Trek TAS. We are concluding our coverage of the entirety of Star Trek TAS, a.k.a. the animated series.
Exactly the problem I have been working on.
he sounds like the guy from Resident Alien.
It's kind of like Cartman or something.
Yeah, like a mix between Cartman and Harry from Resident Alien.
That mantis creature on Space Ghost.
Yeah, Space Ghost.
Exactly.
Coast to coast.
This is a map of our galaxy.
It does sound like the mantis from Space Ghost, coast to coast.
Our home solar system is here. You entered our universe through the Amphion Nova. Here.
It hurts my ears.
The counterclock incident.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about this week. The counterclock.
Captain Kirk in the reverse universe.
I apologize. I accidentally said the countercock incident. It's the counterclock.
No, Sarah.
Incident. All right.
Captain Kirk in the reverse universe.
But However, that's not
we
all
we got. We don't have time for children's games right now, Scotty, but beam us down.
That's not all we got. That's not all we got for you. Not
no,
just...
Because that kind
of
sucks.
Not just a thorough discussion of the very last episode of It's Got Star Trek. No, of Star Trek, the animated series that we have to discuss.
We're going
to
talk about the counterclock incident.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to give it its full due. And
how
then,
do we do that, Spock?
And then after that, we are going to have a bit of a retrospective discussion of the animated series in its entirety.
We're dangerous.
We've covered every single episode in order. You can go all the way back. I think it was episode 5 or something.
Well, we started from the beginning.
I think episode 5 of It's Got Star Trek, I think, was the first time we discussed. I think we did Beyond the Farthest Star in yesteryear.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
what do you mean?
Usually we've done them in pairs. Yeah. There was one that we did in conjunction with some
The Trouble with Tribbles
short treks.
We did it with the Trouble with Edward.
And that's why we have this one.
Yeah, we have a dangler, but that gives us the opportunity to have this retrospective where we talk about all of the episodes of TAS.
How do we do that, Spock?
Well, thank you for asking.
Why are you asking Spock?
Kirk.
Spock's not here, dude.
Because I've put together a scoring spreadsheet, and when the time comes, we will have a very brief discussion. I'll read through the synopses.
We're going to score it.
Of each episode, and we'll remember what we can remember and score that up. And
Keep score.
That will be a fun conversation. But
most logical.
There will be winners and losers.
If after this episode you would like to hear more of our discussions of the animated series, which are often my favorite ones to record. They're usually the most fun.
I see what you mean.
You can always go to the website, www.itsgotstartrek.com, and you can click.
There's
a menu option where you can click on just Star Trek, the animated series.
It pleases me, Jim.
And it will filter the podcast by just those episodes. That's precisely what that function is useful for.
Solid,
I will also try to remember to put all the episode numbers for the episode, you know, the It's Got Star Trek episodes where we discuss them. I'll try to give those numbers of the podcast in the information of this for this episode.
Whatever you say.
So you can go.
Shall I do?
That's pretty handy.
So you can just go and reference that.
What?
That's a gift. A gift to the audience.
So that'll be what we do. That'll be all fun. Only other couple things to mention are, first of all,
you said only other thing.
Only Ollie Oxen.
It's very rhythmic.
Hey, internet. Hey, folks from around the world.
Hello.
Let us know if you have a term that's similar to Ollie Oxen Free. We're not going to provide a definition for that phrase.
How do you even fucking spell that?
You can
shit?
Look it up in the various anglophone.
What's that even mean?
The anglophone places. Do you have specifically Ollie Oxen Free? Or not
like alley accent phrase
and in other countries do you have something similar to that? Again, we cannot provide a definition or sort of an analogy or context
spelling.
Anyway, just thought I'd mention that.
I've never heard that language before.
But yes,
when are you supposed to use that word?
No, we can't provide that information.
We can't provide that information. Maybe we should do that in a different podcast.
There's a give and take with one's audience, and there's a responsibility on both sides, right?
Damn, dude.
And it's not a heavy responsibility. Idea. Just there's some sort of things, That's some serious. Expectations.
Oh, Robert.
We're in the business of posing things, and the audience is in the business of contemplating and considering, and then potentially getting back to us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Your interference almost cost me my life.
If you have any thoughts on the old Ollie Oxen Free business,
I've never heard that language before.
Or if you'd like to send us any comments or questions or hate mail complaints,
especially hate mail.
Don't forget we have a Patreon. So patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. Go give us money. That would be great.
Emphasis on the pay.
you get some fun content over there. And one other thing I wanted to mention regarding last week's episode. It's not a correct em up. It's like a forget a merino. Because one of the things we were discussing last week, when we were talking about Star Trek, the original series, the Corbomite maneuver.
That's called errata.
We were discussing, errata. Well, it's not a mistake.
Errata?
It's not a mistake per se.
That's more of a,
it's something that I did want to mention because we were discussing our favorite Clint Howard roles, and one of the ones that I forgot to mention that I do really like him in was that Key and Peele sketch, the Keep Dancing, the aerobic dancing sketch, where Clint Howard is the one holding up the cue cards.
That's right. I didn't.
It's one of my favorite sketches of all time. And he's great in that. Anyway, just wanted to get that out of there.
I forgot about that.
I was feeling guilty. Keep dancing. Okay, so with that, we've got the outline laid out. Dan's already played through every single one of his sound clips.
Within a few hours, it will be dead.
Everyone knows what to expect.
We all know what's coming up next. It's our discussion of the counterclock incident.
I don't know. What am I doing here?
The reverse universe.
What am I doing here? Hi, I'm Captain Kirk.
I have a whole section of sounds based upon like reverse and time related things.
I hope so.
Okay, do you want to? I'm struggling a little bit of how we should begin this because
Jesse says he doesn't like it.
You know,
I thought it was one of the better TAS episodes.
I have a lot of fun with a lot of TAS and a lot of Star Trek that's silly, and like I'm not usually all that critical, but for some reason this one just seemed really ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. It didn't make any sense.
it was just a little like...
I'm on Jesse's side here because it was so ridiculous at parts, and more to the point...
It was just too much.
I was like, there's nothing, nobody's learned anything. There's no moral...
No, but it was fun. Yeah. It was so fun.
It wasn't that fun.
This part wasn't unfun.
Well, with the part where Carla Five, when he first heard her start talking, and she was all backwards, and then he's like,
"Let's hear that tape backward, which should sound forward to us."
And then
which is like so insulting to the audience, it's like, "What? Are you fucking kidding me?" I mean, okay, this is 1970s. Everyone's high on amyl nitrate and various other quaaludes and amyl nitrate, poppers.
But then later when they went through the other side and she was talking forward and Spock's reasoning was...
Apparently our brains are also working in reverse.
It made no fucking sense.
Oh, no. My favorite part is like, okay, they're aging backwards. They're like, time runs backwards. Why are they aging backwards so quickly?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
If the flow of time is reversed... Then one is born at an old age and dies in infancy.
Okay.
Your descendants are born before you, and your ancestors are born after you.
Then the young child in the playpen...
My father, Captain.
My favorite part is right after that line, Kirk freaks out. It's like he had had enough. Like
his eyes went all crazy.
Yeah, because there'd been so much crazy... up until that point, there'd been so much crazy time shit going on, and he didn't seem fazed by any of it. But that one part about their babies being their parents...
Yeah,
that
like, he's like, because that doesn't make any fucking sense.
That's like at the point where
his human mind freaked out.
That's the point where it all boiled over, and he was like, I can't take this shit anymore. This is too crazy.
It's literally just some shit somebody said while they were high, and then they wrote it down.
Every time that...
They're like making it into Star Trek.
That jive ass like Robert April guy said anything.
You mean
like,
super white Robert April?
Yeah.
The whitest version of Robert April.
Like nothing he said like ever had any use.
I'll be glad to get home.
One time he was just like repeating what like somebody else said.
There
like,
was a lot of
But not necessarily to babble, to babble, but not necessarily to babble, to babble, but not necessarily to babble, to babble, but not necessarily to babble, to babble.
It's like you never made Admiral because you're fucking boring. Like,
wasn't he Admiral or was
he was a Commodore.
You're right. Well that Commodore is nowadays that's what the lowest ranked Admiral, right? That's what they turned into.
Brigadier General, yeah.
I'm sure Captain Kirk has other problems besides your flower, dear.
Okay. No, there's so much to discuss here.
Okay, so but I want to make clear. Like, I enjoyed this episode. I felt it was more entertaining than...
More power to you,
I thought it was entertaining. Some Star Trek TAS episodes are just kind of like... not much happens.
Yeah.
And it's just the usual them like sort of running with the black silhouette and some kind of like...
Those raptor creatures coming down like...
Yeah, and they're like running across like the background in an alien landscape with mountains.
I love that shit.
I like it too, but like this was a nice change of pace because it was an exploration on how ridiculous it is to talk about backwards world.
Well,
Red Dwarf actually had a backwards episode. That was awesome. Because people didn't eat, they like ate. They just played everything backwards. So like when they ate a sandwich, they actually just assembled a sandwich from their mouth into their hands.
I like the backwards fighting scene from that Top Secret movie. Have you seen that? It's like one of the best. Secret. It's like they do a whole fight backwards and like underwater. It's crazy.
The movie Tenet.
They have the fight underwater and then they have the backwards scene.
That movie Tenet, that newer movie Tenet.
I haven't seen it, but that's
Tenet
goes back and forth or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's actually some like whatever anyone's opinion on the movie is, I enjoyed it. But like some of that backwards shit was like really like that. I thought was done really well.
Yeah.
In that movie in particular.
Better than in this episode.
Yeah. Well, it got to the point.
What
like
what was Tenet?
It's a Chris Nolan
Chris Nolan.
Was it right before the pandemic or right after the pandemic?
No, it came out during. It was the deal with Tenet was it was the first big first movie one, to go back in the theaters because Christopher Nolan. It was supposed to come out and then that pandemic hit and Christopher Nolan refused to release it on streaming.
Yeah,
I think that was the deal.
Okay.
If I don't remember, forgive me. It was the pandemic. Everything was crazy. People were eating, like literally eating each other.
Yeah,
I know.
People were murdering each other in the streets and gnawing on the raw human flesh.
Out of my mind.
Yeah, and all of us are guilty of that in one fashion or another.
I have not recovered.
The thing is that it didn't really change my life that much.
No, I mean,
I've been eating people for years.
We learned a lot actually from Dan.
Yeah,
Dan's got a lot of recipes.
Yep.
Human
I've actually
flesh.
Helped a lot of people.
It's garlic.
So when Spock...
You helped a lot of people into the giant cauldron in your backyard. you like built some nice steps.
There's some nice steps going up in there. It's like, yeah, after you.
So when Carla was talking in reverse, right?
Carla 5.
He was like, we hear her forward because our brains are working backwards. Right now, do you ever like think about opposite day? Like if you get too deep in opposite day, it flips back forward into like normal forward day again.
Yeah, that's because how it works.
Because if everything is the opposite, it just flips back
that's
to the normal.
That's how you get a universe from nothing.
Yeah,
it's at, okay, sure.
From none?
Is that really? Because universe from nothing is opposite day?
From none?
Basically, there's certain ways you can look at the math that the average energy in the universe averages out to zero.
It's got
right. Zero sum.
And it's sort of
well, that's like a zero sum.
Like zero
yeah.
results in like also infinity somehow. Like
that's just because it's so big.
Like, okay, so if you're saying like, if you go up to someone and say like, I like you, and then they're like, oh, thanks. And you're like, it's opposite day. And they're like, oh, that means you hate me. But no, it means you like when you say it's opposite day it's opposite day so when you say it's opposite day what you're really saying is it's not opposite day right
no
and so but you are saying that you like it's one of those paradoxes if you,
oh, no.
you can't say it's opposite day without it being forward day but then
a
just,
most ingenious paradox
and so when Spock started talking
is that
about
what that is?
Like when Spock it would have been enough for them to like hear her backwards talking backwards and then forward in the other universe he didn't need to talk about our brains going in reverse like first of all, that concept just doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense.
Like maybe he's just Spock's too smart for my dumb brain. But like, no. But like, you didn't need to
not,
add
not in this episode.
You didn't need to add the part where your brain is working backwards. Because if you say your brain is working backwards, that's like the same problem you get when you
with
say
opposite day.
With opposite day, it means well, if your brain's working backwards, it's hearing what she's saying backwards, which is forward, which is back. You know, it's
that
just
is an astute
it just
thing to say,
it just folds in on itself.
Yes.
So yeah, I think like when he started talking about brains working backwards, that's when I started to like draw the line a little bit. But like, it was just so like. I like how the universe was like white with black
black
stars.
Stars.
No,
and
that
by
the way, that was cool
it was like
looking.
It was like
that
a it was
cool.
like a negative land.
By the way, I'm maybe not as far on the disliking scale as Jesse, but I'm on that side of the fence for sure with this episode. I did find it sort of silly, but I will also say this is the episode that I have the most vivid childhood memories of
really?
Watching. So I watched TAS when
I was
a kid.
I remember the one with like Spock going back in time.
Yeah, and I remember that. I remember him with Ichaya, right? So
Ichaya,
that's another vivid
one.
But that and this one,
and the one
I,
with like...
I've watched all the TAS episodes a million times, so I've seen them, but certain memories go back all the way. And I'm like, this episode, I do remember being so like... My child brain probably like inverted itself. It was like, what? I will say that the and we'll get to more of the plot elements in a bit, but and Dan, you might disagree with me on this one potentially, but we've talked about in the past how a lot of TAS episodes feel a little like rushed or compressed because they feel like an hour-long idea that was been squished into a half-hour format.
Some of them were.
But some of them actually were. Some of them are like the opposite. And this one's like, this feels like a 10-minute idea that he stretched out because and you made me think of that, Dan, because you talked about how like Robert April is just repeating stuff. Kirk is just repeating. Like people are just repeating stuff or saying stuff out loud that doesn't need to be said out loud.
It's like, this is the final mission.
And I don't think saying it's a quote unquote children's show is a good enough excuse because other episodes of TAS, and we'll get to that later, are much more sophisticated in their storytelling.
I'm going to show you an example of what you just said. Here are all the points in which Spock mentioned numbers in this episode. This was a number episode for Spock.
Nevertheless, it will contact us in 1.4 minutes, 3 minutes, 42.7 seconds, 1 minute, 58.3 seconds, 42.85 seconds, 52.3 seconds, 13, 12, 11, 35.18 seconds. Contact in 20 seconds, 14 seconds, 13, 12, 18 minutes, 37 minutes, 14.21 seconds, Captain. 9 seconds to impact. 3, 7, 2.
What's funny among those things?
11, 12, 13.
when he says 3 minutes and 46.7 seconds.
Yes.
Then Kirk says, Scotty, give me 3.5 minutes. And I was like, 3.5 minutes is not 3 minutes. And this is not enough time. He's asked Scotty for not enough time. Now, it's like, okay, I get it. He's human, Kirk, and he's being human and less precise. But
okay,
it jumped out at me.
The last episode we talked about was a TOS episode where like somebody else was counting down.
Yeah,
like
Sulu was counting down.
And, like somebody was freaking out. And
Bailey
this time,
was like, "Now it's a countdown."
Everybody was totally fine with Spock like calmly like counting.
Okay, down. And so wait, listen to, and he did this a few times. Listen to this number.
42.85 seconds.
42 seconds. 0.85.
42.85.
Not
seconds.
Just 0.8, which is ridiculous enough. 8.5. You're talking about.
He's very precise.
I don't even know what that is.
He's down to, let's see.
I have no like sense of what 0.85.
He's down to 1/100 of a second.
Yeah.
1/100 of a second. He's talking. Now, does his Vulcan brain calculate that he'll be done?
Maybe.
Wait. Let me finish my sentence, please.
I just want to make sure you're not being racist against Vulcans. And what you mean is like, does his brain biologically Vulcan?
Green-blooded brain.
Well, it's a half-human.
It makes perfect sense when I finish my statement.
No, I know you're just like his Vulcan brain.
Yeah, you're right. I did. I'm sorry. I hate Vulcans. They all suck.
Pointy-eared bitch.
Yeah. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Do you think his smart Vulcan brain means that when he says 42.85 seconds, he's done saying 8.5 by the time there is 42.85 seconds? Or does he start saying 42.85 at 42.85? Does that happen at the beginning of him talking or at the end of him talking?
I think it's
I don't know because it is a lot of words to say.
It's a lot. You want to know what else is ridiculous?
I think it's more than a second.
I think it's an affectation. I think it's an affectation he picked up as a youth.
Oh, speaking of an affectation, last episode I was talking about him saying weird shit. What was it I was saying last episode? I was saying that Spock
says to me.
He's all like, Spock, y'all.
Yeah, he goes.
Spock here. No answer from the cube.
Well, this episode, he said,
correct our course after the alien ship enters the Nova.
After the alien.
Would you mind telling them you can correct the course after we do the thing?
So is he going to have like a cup of tea afterwards?
I want to point out another silly.
Holy crumpers.
Another weird Vulcan thing to say.
Nevertheless, it will contact us in 1.4 minutes.
1.4 minutes is 1 minute and 24 seconds.
You're right. Yes.
1.4 minutes.
It's less precise, and he said contact like from his normal Boston accent.
Oh.
Nevertheless, it will contact us in 1.4 minutes.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
Is that where he's from, Boston?
Yeah, I think he's from Boston.
Okay.
I didn't really know.
And speaking of
1.21 gigawatts.
Oh God! It's gigawatts. Really have to say that? Every
That's
time.
A quote from Back to the
yes,
Future.
Yes, I know. You always. Fucking say it all the time. You're always saying
because everybody knows what
everyone likes Back to the Future. It's nice.
Not everyone, but we do.
Everyone likes Back to the Future.
Everybody who's
human,
a rational human being,
who has a heart.
A heart. Ah. Soul.
The power of love. The power is a curious thing.
Everyone who knows about the power of love.
Another curious thing is how long is Dan going to take to look up what's going on over there?
Oh, okay. So I was double checking some numbers.
Okay,
when
good.
He said 1.4, when he said 1.4 minutes, this was in reference to the ship they detected with their sensors that was
sensors that was
1.4 minutes away.
Uh-huh.
This ship was 1.4 minutes mm-hmm. away, and it was going at warp 36.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Okay.
This is an important thing that we have to discuss.
Okay. First of all, let me give you some comparison of what 1.4 minutes away at warp 36. At warp 1, mm-hmm. if you're 1.4 minutes away, 1 minute and 24 seconds, you are over 15,500,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. At warp 1.
Just warp 1.
Just warp 1.
Just warp 1.
So they were able to use their scanners to detect a ship flying at over the speed of light.
Yeah, which...
Way over the speed of light.
Seems like there's a problem with that.
And okay, yeah, sort of that's number one. That was over... That was at warp 1.
That's understood.
At warp 1, it would be over 15.5 million miles away. And at warp 36, it's just a gigantic number larger. So how are their scanners able to go that
it's
far
a blur.
And that fast? How do you scan something going at warp? How does their tractor
it's like a
beam
smear.
Did you notice their tractor beam also? We can get to that in a minute, but like the tractor beam at warp.
There's a problem with the tractor beam, let me tell you.
There was a problem with
there's a couple of problems.
It hooked on somehow, but then it didn't get It was not hook off.
So okay, here's the problem with the tractor beam business. And this feeds into there's a few things in here that feed into my it tipped the scales and the ridiculousness.
Okay, warp 36.
Okay.
Warp 36. They've never mentioned a warp anywhere near 30. I think they went up to warp 13 once in TNG or something.
No, I think in TOS.
TOS,
because then in TNG they redid the scale to make it so that you could never hit warp 10.
Never.
Right.
Until Voyager, and then it means you fuck your navigator, your pilot.
What's a pilot?
It's Tom Paris.
You know, it's a television program that you make in order to show.
I don't watch
studio.
TV. Okay, okay. I'm just kidding. I watch lots of TV.
No,
you watch a lot of TV.
You do watch a lot of TV.
I'm sorry.
How do you know?
I'm not joking.
How do you know how much TV I watch?
Because you're always talking about all the TV you watch.
You guys are always talking about the TV.
You got like five TVs.
I don't
and you're
watch
like watching
TV.
Them all at
I
once.
Have
like, you're like Marty McFly
I have
in Back
two,
to the Future 2.
I have two televisions.
You
I
come
watch,
home and you're like, turn on channels.
Turn 76,
34, 42. 71 also, and then the shopping network.
And sometimes my boss like jumps in on the TV screen while I'm watching TV and fires me.
Yes. Well, we won't.
And he's
I don't
flea.
Think we'll recount that scene.
No, I guess
McFly,
not.
I monitored that scan you interfaced.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You are fired.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy,
your name's not McFly.
Oh,
the 1980s.
Okay. Okay. I guess this is the last time thing I wanted to mention. Well, not
last
time thing, number related thing.
Yeah. This will be the last time.
So when I was given all those spot countdowns, here's the one, the first sort of, there's a few sets of lines here within a span of a minute or two.
Okay.
So Spock goes, contact in 39 seconds, 38, 37, and then it waits a second. He's like, 13, 12, 11, go forward a few seconds.
Okay.
Kirk says, that other ship may have been able to survive the heat of a nova, but the Enterprise can't. Mr. Scott, how about that full braking powder? And Scott goes, we're as badly off as before, Captain.
Yeah.
We have no control of the ship as long as the alien Lassie has us in tow. They're as bad as they off as they were before. Keep in mind that Spock just said 13, 12, 11. Now Spock's saying contact in 20 seconds. So there was contact in 13, 12, 11. Kirk's like, hey, Scotty, how are we doing? He's like, mm-hmm. we suck just mm-hmm. the same as it ever was. And somehow they're back up to 20 seconds, 11. He just got back up to 20 seconds. And then a bunch of more time goes by. And then he's like 14 seconds. So he jumped all, like his countdowns were not lining up at all.
No.
And it wasn't even an issue of like where you know how sometimes I get pissed off when like they say there's like 10 seconds left, but in real time, it's actually like 15 seconds. Yeah. This wasn't even that. They went back.
Just completely wrong.
They went the other way. They went from 13 seconds. And I think it was a meta commentary on the time nature.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
No.
No, I'm not going to go that far.
Before we got derailed by the Back to the Future business.
You were so crazy.
What I was getting at was one of the things that impacted my enjoyment of this episode is sort of twofold. It's that they have so much of this crazy nonsensical stuff, and it's not just nonsensical, it's just like it's obviously doesn't make sense. Well, I guess that's nonsensical. All right.
It's not un-nonsensical.
And with no effort to try to correct it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Combined with the fact that there's no actual lesson or moral or or anything. So because I'm very forgiving if you're trying to tell a story that results in a certain conclusion, you know, like be nice to other people.
Except at the end, those April people were all
don't
like
look a gift horse and whatever, schmaltzy. Whatever the little tale you're trying to tell. If you got a message, then you can do whatever the fuck you want in the story to get to where you need to be. Or you can, you know, it's always nicer when it holds together. But you cited a couple things, Dan, there that don't make sense with the time stuff. For me, the thing that drove me nuts was the tractor beam thing, because it's like, okay, warp 36. Okay, whatever. Warp 36 is a lot. It's a big number. Yeah. Okay. But then they're like, we put a tractor beam on the ship. It's at warp 36. We're at warp 14.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, and the
it literally doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
It's like they go, okay, we got it down from warp 36 to 32, but now we're at 14 to 15. Like, yeah, like they should have.
That's not how anything works.
That's not how anything works. That's not how
anything works. This is not sci-fi. It's not fantasy.
And it's not even, we're not even talking about a little elasticity here. No. We're talking about warp 36 versus warp 36 versus like warp 14. And it's like, that's slowly speeding, slowing down. And the Enterprise is slowly speeding up. Like,
it's
right.
It's like a bad puppet show.
And not to mention like the fact that how did they tractor something in warp to begin with? Like, I didn't think they could. Yeah. I thought the whole point of warp is that once, like,
we see in Discovery, there's some at warp tractor beams. I think we've probably seen it elsewhere. But it's shady.
And look, I thought one of the deals with warp is that that's how you escape detection. Is if you can get to warp,
has like Michael Burnham jumping on ships like while they're in warp or something.
While they're tractor beamed in warp.
Okay, wait. Okay,
tractor beam.
I thought one of the ways you get away from people is once you go to warp, that's like aha, I got away. At least
they
for
can,
now,
they can track your little bits.
They can,
but it's not instantaneous.
Yeah. You have some time. So how are you supposed to scan?
You're not dogfighting at warp,
right?
Presumably.
So how are they supposed to scan some ship going at warp 36 if it's like warp is how you get away from people?
Well, on the other hand, one would presume
like you can't
having the facility to see what other ships are warping around just from an air traffic control or space traffic control. That might be a useful technology to assume exists.
Well, maybe they like. I would imagine they send out like little like.
Squirty bits
like information data saying like, okay, we're here, we're gonna warp to there, it's gonna take this long
flight plan kind of thing. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
In any case, I don't see how it's possible to scan
flight plan.
It's not possible to scan or it's not possible to scan anything at warp if you're not at warp.
Do you know what it is possible to do though?
Take a break
It's time to take a quick break. When we return, we will conclude our discussion of the counterclock incident and begin,
thank goodness,
our discussion of TAS more generally. All right, we are back.
This bridge is more like home than anywhere else.
Let's talk about our friends here. The Aprils, Robert April and Sarah April. So, first question I have is, why did Spock call Dr. April Mrs. April when they made a big deal about how she was not only a clinician, physician, scientist, but one of like the most historically important physician scientists?
Yeah.
And they even refer to her as Dr. April, except for Spock, who calls her Mrs. April and is like, don't be scared.
All teenagers and children.
Teenagers.
She's still, and why is Nichelle Nichols making an old lady voice when she's supposed to be all like us in her spry 30s or something?
Within a few hours, it will be dead.
Spock is being weirdly misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like that old joke about the doctor, but the doctor's...
The doctor's a man.
Well, his dad was kind of...
That's the joke, is the doctor's a man.
No, I think that's the opposite.
No, it's the other
joke.
One. The doctor's... I'm so chauvinistic.
Everybody loses.
I got the joke wrong.
No, the joke is the thing with the
patient. Yeah, it's like...
The doctor's like, I can't work on this.
It's my son.
It's
but
like,
the dad's off in outer space or something. The dad's in outer space, but like, you can't operate on your son. It's like, how does the dad... It's not the dad operating on the son.
Sort of enculturated misogyny. Misogynism makes the people assume that the doctor is a man and the father, but we've already been introduced to the father in some other context
And to those of you who say like nobody would
internalize misogyny.
To those of you who say that like nobody would ever like not get that that when somebody told you a joke, no one would ever like not get that the woman was the doctor.
Yeah.
Back in the late 80s, a lot of people did not.
It was a trick.
It was a trick question.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
It was just kind of shameful.
It's kind of interesting, the concept of humor.
America sucks.
That relies on an assumption of internalized misogyny or prejudice in order for the joke to work.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that, because I think they can be learning opportunities. But it is it's sort of interesting to be like, this joke's only going to work on you if you're a piece of shit. Like, that's the only way it's going to work.
It's like, that's not funny. You're damn right it's not funny.
Okay. Another thing. We'll get back to the Aprils in a second, maybe, if necessary.
I still like to say that I found this entertaining. I was an entertaining episode. Okay. I was not bored. Of all the craziness, anytime there's crazy time shit is makes no sense to begin with. Sure, their babies are their parents. Why not?
Yes.
So if your babies are your parents, well, in the opposite world, a parent is actually a child. If a baby is your parent, it's opposite world. So parent means child. So we're back forward again. You see what I'm saying about how opposite day means forward day?
I see what you are saying.
It's like the adults are babies, but that means babies.
But the babies are adults.
Babies are adults because it's opposite day. Everything's opposite. If someone's going backwards and your brain's going backwards, that means everything's forward. Opposite's the opposite, which is forward.
What are you talking about?
So I complained about the tractor beam warp differential, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Dan complained about the inaccurate time estimations. Mm-hmm. Another thing that threw me off was right before shit started going down, you know, before they even, right as they were encountering the ship, the danger music, which we do all know and love, the danger music started playing well in advance of anything dangerous actually happening.
Yeah.
It was like a full 30 seconds or 45 seconds later when they were like, oh, it's a ship coming at crazy warp 36 or whatever. They were just talking and the danger music started.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like Sulu or somebody was like, there's some shit going down.
Yeah. And some of the spaceship that was going down, as you saw the Enterprise go by, and then you saw the other ship narrowly kind of what we're, I assume we're supposed to think they narrowly avoided each other.
Yeah, because the Enterprise all like turned.
Yeah, right.
And Kirk gave a command and they took the full time for Kirk to give like a, you know, commands.
Exactly.
Jimmy Doohan playing all the voice parts.
I want to play.
Unless Nichelle Nichols is playing them.
So when she talked forward, or when she talked in reverse.
About Carla Five.
Carla Five, still alive. That was a Short Circuit reference. Yes. Movie Short Circuit.
Number Five is alive.
Yeah. So we hear her talk back.
That has a white guy dressed as an Indian person.
I know. Yes, I know. It's not cool.
No.
I
mean, it's, yeah.
I think at the time people thought it was not cool too.
Yeah. So they played her voice in reverse, and then they reversed it just to make sure they were on point.
They flipped it in reverse.
I flipped it myself.
Oh, you flipped it in reverse.
I flipped both of them. So
is it worth it?
So first I will play her speaking in reverse over top of me reversing the second time she said it.
Okay.
So the first time she says it in reverse, and I'll play that as recorded.
Okay.
And over top of it, I'll play the second recording of her talking forward, except
over,
I will have,
over top or, except, or in sequence?
Over top.
Okay.
Over top.
Okay.
I would be playing the first recording of her talking in reverse as played, as recorded. And then I'll take the second recording of her talking forward, except I'm going to flip reverse it. And I'm going to play them on top of each other to see how they match up.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Are we ready?
I think I'm
as ready as I'm ever going to be.
I don't remember which ones it is. I got it. Because the names are all like reverso forward and shit like that. I don't know what that means.
You're crafting such a storyscape that you're crafting is, it's really, you're creating a lot of tension.
Yeah.
In a good way. This is, I'm excited.
Here we go.
Okay, so enough time has passed between your explanation of what you're going to do and you doing it that I don't quite understand what happened, but it sounded amusing.
I think what you need to notice is that there's a point where one of them's going slower than the other. There's a point where they're talking in unison and then they separate again. Listen for the middle of it when they start talking. You got to be totally silent to hear this.
Okay.
In the middle, they start talking in unison and then it separates.
Say it again, Dan.
Oh,
So those are both backwards.
Yeah, the first time was her talking normal now, backwards, and the second time was her talking forward, except I reversed it.
Now, do you have her talking backwards from the show, but then you've reversed it to be forwards?
Yes.
All right.
I am on a priority mission. I am on a priority mission. Slowing my progress. Release your my ship slowing my progress. I am doomed. Release my ship at once, or I am doomed.
Doomed.
I am on a priority.
You're just like, I want to play them exactly over top, one on top of each other.
Yeah.
I am on a priority mission.
We won't have to try this for very long.
No, it's fine. Jesse, just hang back for a second.
I am on a priority mission. Your beam is slowing my progress. Release my ship at once, or I am doomed.
They're talking at a different speed.
You know, the most enjoyable part of that that or those clips is the ridiculous cricket in the background.
Yeah, I know.
The techno cricket.
Listen to it. They become farther apart.
Listen to the techno cricket.
I am on a priority mission.
Sorry, I did it wrong. Okay. Gotta get it just right. I should have cut this. I should have cut this properly before I did this.
Well, you know, hindsight and whatnot.
I am on a priority mission.
Okay, one more time.
I am on a priority mission. Your beam is slowing my progress. Release my ship at once, or I am doomed.
Do you hear they were in unison at first, and then they got farther apart? So they weren't exactly the same.
And now, Dan, do you have any theories as to what might have caused the discrepancy?
I think they probably had to like squish one up or extend it for time. One of them, they probably were like, well, we're short or over a few seconds, so we're just going to take this clip and like lengthen it. Like, you know, but the pitch sounded similar. The pitch sounded pretty similar, so I don't know.
I have an alternative theory. My theory is that they had her record it twice, the voice actor, you know, Nichelle Nichols, and just weren't worried about it being exactly the same.
They might have even recorded it four times, like her talking, they would only record it two times. No, they were four times. Once, two of her doing it forward and two of her doing it backwards, and then they put it together using magic.
The magics of Megas 2.
Yep.
Okay. We got a couple of minutes left to conclude this, and there are a couple of things that I do want to mention.
I have a Beta Niobe moment.
What's a Beta? What does that mean?
They said Beta Niobe a bunch of times, but they didn't say it consistently.
Oh, okay. Let's hear that then.
Okay.
All I was going to say is that I was asking why Carla Five's son sounded like a creepy monster.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we've already gone over that a little bit, but it's like it sort of didn't make any sense because he's like a human-looking guy. He's not like some kind of alien monster.
I know. He talks like a crazy person. I don't know.
This is a map of our galaxy.
This is a map of our galaxy.
Because it was the 70s.
I know. There was, respect my authority. As soon as he started talking, I like bust out laughing because it was such a ridiculous voice.
Yeah,
was that
pretty funny.
That was Jimmy Dewey?
That was Jimmy Doohan, yeah. So Nichelle Nichols did Carla Five and Dr. Sarah April.
But the Enterprise crew, they're all children. Within a few hours, it will be dead.
And then, James Doohan did, all the other bits.
Exactly the problem I have been working on.
So they pronounced Beta Niobe.
Beta Niobe.
Once again, William Shatner pronounces it different. Check it out.
All right.
With the Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe's supernova.
Beta Niobe.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
Now listen to these two. That's
a crazy way to pronounce it.
Listen to Kirk saying it two different times.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
He pronounces it differently within the same episode. On one, he says Beta Niobe.
What a piece of shit.
And the other time he says Beta Niobe. Listen.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Wait, can we play that again?
They should have paid him less.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Great, you guys. I'm going home.
Exactly.
Definitely in that direction.
Yeah.
With the Beta Niobe Nova.
The Beta Niobe Supernova.
Beta.
The Beta Niobe Nova.
I totally didn't remember.
Here is Beta Niobe. Two.
All right. In the last couple minutes, the galaxy map, of course, is wild.
Yeah.
I do think it's helpful to remember that galaxies as a thing, nobody even knew what a galaxy was until 1923 by Edwin Hubble. That's right. When galaxies were discovered as being a thing. So, okay, they didn't know how to draw a galaxy very well.
I liked the Robert's explanation of how to travel between galaxies. He says, when the explosions of a nova in their universe and one in our universe occur together, it's possible to travel between the two. It's like you're riding a wave.
But he just said that after the girl said it.
Yeah, and then Spock was just like, oh, and so we'll just like start a new star.
Yeah, right. That's
we'll just do that. Yeah, we'll just go do that.
They're simple prematurely.
Let's just go do that.
He was talking about being a midwife to a star. He's like, and I couldn't tell if he meant... But like birth it in the forward world or the reverse world.
The reversey world.
I thought it was a fun explanation though to they were talking it like you're riding the wave of a star from one universe, one dimension to another. It's like you die with the star and you grow with the star on the other side. Even though it makes no sense.
It was kind of cool.
Made no sense, but it was cool.
It was the best part of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't hear Karlify's name until like halfway through the episode.
Yeah, which was
like,
funny.
After he already met her during a supplemental.
What we did hear was the child voices were like Sulu's child's voice was hilarious. Like and Kirk, you played it earlier where there's like, oh, I'm just Captain Kirk. Oh, jeepers.
What shall I do?
Tractor beam.
What shall I do? I'm Captain Kirk.
What shall
Kirk.
I do?
Jeepers.
What do you mean? Whatever you say. What shall I do?
Did you have any of Sulu's young
Sulu? I don't know. Yeah. What am I doing here?
Yeah. What am I doing here?
How do we do that, Spock? How do we do that, Spock? How is our course, Mr. Sulu? Mr. Eriks, take over for him. Lieutenant Uhura, report
sir,
to
I
navigation console.
I don't understand all this equipment.
Eriks lasted a little bit longer than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Mr. Eriks, take over for him. Lieutenant Uhura, report to navigation console.
But Uhura didn't sound that young.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand all this equipment. What do I do with these controls?
She's not,
like we mentioned with
probably in her 30s.
With Dr. April, she also even when Dr. April was half her original age, she still had the same like old lady voice.
Yeah. She says what?
What do I do with these controls?
What?
What's wrong with that?
You say what?
What's wrong?
I don't know.
That?
I see what you mean. What is all this equipment?
This was the captain's log of when he was all young. The supplemental log when he was
the supplemental.
So this is when he was normal, Kirk.
Captain's log, supplemental.
Normal.
We are proceeding to Carla Five's planet, Arret.
Captain's log, supplemental. We have 11
Captain's
minutes of
log.
Real time left to reach
minutes.
The dead star. But all around, my crew are turning into children, unable to operate the ship.
But all around.
Ollie oxen free.
His hearing aid was turned down.
Baby Uhura was cute.
Yeah, Baby Uhura was cute.
This episode was kind of like Rascals, right? TNG's Rascals there with the people getting
younger.
That's
why I suggested
The difference
Rascals.
Is, another logical thing that was silly in this episode is in Rascals, they all kept their wits about them. They had their same memories and all this other stuff. In this episode, they just randomly introduced at the end. Not only are we getting younger, but also as we get younger, for some reason, our memories retrogress to what we knew when we were that age, even though that doesn't necessarily seem to be what's happening like in this universe. Like none of it actually is like coherent.
If you were to say there was some message in the episode, I guess it was when Robert was like, when Sarah was like, let's go back to being young.
No.
He was like, no, you don't need to. It's not a message.
It was
not a message.
It was not connected
executed.
To anything.
No, I know. But I'm saying like, if you had to try to draw something, that's the closest I think you
that's
get
what
mine.
They tried to do at the end, because like, we don't have a message.
And
so
I don't even spurt this out.
It doesn't even entirely make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like, he's all like, we're all like sexy and hot now, and we could like live an extra long life. And we're just not going to do that.
Let's not do that.
So they had two things they put in there just for like.
I'm Robert April.
Didn't disappear.
They had two things they put in this episode for user brain candy, or whatever you want to viewer brain candy. So notice they had the old people were there just so we could watch them get young, and so they had a meet just so we could watch the Enterprise crew.
Somebody could be
it was just so that we could have Enterprise crew babies because they needed somebody in charge. That's
crew
why
crew babies.
Okay, one second. Please.
I'm listening, baby.
He's just he's been a hype man.
But
Jesse the hype man.
So I'm a hype man, baby.
So they only had the old people in there just so they could have show like the Enterprise crew get younger and turn into babies. It's the only reason the old people, just like they only had a flower that lived for 3 hours, just so we can watch a flower die and come back to life really quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, there's just, it was like, hey, look, time stuff. There was a weird moment in here where there was like a command swapping going on when Spock was like, Captain, I must assume command. You are no longer able to command the Enterprise. Kirk's like, whatever you say, what shall I do? That one. And then Robert April goes, Mr. Spock, as long as I am aboard, I am senior officer. I hate to pull rank, but you will be capable of command only for a few minutes, not long enough to complete the maneuvers necessary to take us home.
Right.
It's like, you're correct. Of course, Commodore April, command is yours. It was like this whole like...
But then he was like, no, I'm Captain April now, which doesn't make any fucking
sense. Yeah, it's because they had to fill time.
Yeah, they were filling time with just some kind of like random order stuff.
And showing ships flying backwards.
I say fuck that shit.
Oh, and that flower, of course, was...
Captain Kirk, the Capellan flower.
The Capellan power cat. Capellan power cat.
The Capellan flower.
Capellan power cat.
Captain Kirk, the Capellan flower.
Capellan
power
Captain Kirk, the Capellan flower.
That episode, counterclock incident, take it for what it is.
Don't
positive,
watch
negative.
It.
To me, it's kind of funny.
The Capellan flower.
To think that this was the last Star Trek people got to see for 5 years.
Yeah.
They just got canceled.
Until the motion picture came out, this was it. It's like, that's the last bit of Star Trek you could see on TV at the time.
Exactly the problem I have been working on.
Jesus Christ. Okay. All right. Let's move along home to our TAS retrospective. Now, what we've done... Yes, indeed. What we've done, as I mentioned, is we have a little score sheet here, and we're just going to go through each of the episodes again, which we've already covered on the show. But that, by the way, just because we've covered it does not mean that we remember the episode or remember anything remotely to what we said. So if the more cunning amongst you in the audience
don't take our word for it.
To go back and listen, and then what we're saying today differs from what we're saying
right.
then.
Don't hold us to it.
Yeah, you can't. That's not, we're not responsible for it's, that type of
Chief O'Brien.
Don't lawyer us.
Yeah, you don't. We're not here to be sort of intellectually or morally consistent.
I'm not joking, Lee.
These are not things that we're good at. Okay.
Sabotage.
Okay, and what we're going to do is, the scoring system is thus...
silly.
Where each episode can be either silly, awesome, or both.
Both?
So Jesse, Dan, and I will each take it in turns to score each episode. So, we'll start out with Star Trek The Animated Series, Season 1, Episode 1, Beyond the Farthest Star. And the synopsis is... While exploring on the outermost rim of the galaxy, the USS Enterprise is pulled into the orbit of a dead star. Trapped there, the crew discovers that there is an ancient derelict pod ship trapped with them
right.
as well.
So that was the one where there was that goopy, like, awesome alien ship
so
they walked inside.
So lonely.
And they were walking inside the ship for a while, and then... they
it was all big.
And then they were inside it and had antimatter cilia or something like that.
Some
that was,
weird
that was how it digested with antimatter.
And I believe it was 3 billion years old.
That was a pretty... I remember that being, like, really... like pretty to look at and like kind of
I rate that episode as awesome.
Yeah,
I would
give
it say
awesome.
That.
It had a few silly bits, but I think mostly that one's an awesome one.
Yeah. I think it's a 3.
Produced by Norm Prescott and Lou Scheimer.
All right.
Lou Scheimer, dude.
Moving along, Season 1, Episode 2, Yesteryear. Spock must travel to the past to rescue his younger self from danger.
Yeah. Oh, that's when he has his
Say lot
you want. I still like Spock. Did you get what I did? I said say lot.
I'm going to go with both.
Hey, I said a joke, Jesse. You missed it. I said,
no,
hey,
I didn't
Jesse,
miss
did you,
it.
You missed Dan's
I
joke.
I didn't miss it.
You missed Dan's joke.
I've been here the whole fucking time.
Say lot you want. You missed my joke.
No, I heard it.
Say lot you want. You didn't.
I heard it in its entirety.
We have a time, yay.
I heard it in its entirety.
How do you spell say lot?
I think it's S-E-H-L-A-T.
Big lots.
But
to
I don't know for
rush
sure.
A Thalot is to risk a goring.
Yeah. So Yesteryear, it's actually one of the better episodes of all of Star Trek. I think that the lore you get from Spock, it's an interesting use of the Guardian of Forever and going back in time and all that other good stuff. And... It's one of those examples where it's easy to make fun of some of the stuff that TAS does or sort of shift it into the corner and say like, oh, it's just some silly cartoon or whatever. But then they do a story like Yesteryear, which has so much pathos and adds so much to the character that then they pick up on later on, which I think is really cool. So I say awesome. What say you guys?
Remarkable.
That's not one of the
choices. Well, I think it's awesome, but then like I remember us talking about it and that makes me feel silly. So that makes me want to lean towards saying both. But it's awesome. It's still very awesome, but also
sugar is awesome.
There's bits about it that maybe are just kind of funny to laugh
at. Yeah.
About.
Well,
they look awesome.
What about season 1, episode 3, One of Our Planets is Missing. The Enterprise.
What do you say, Dan, about
a very big planet?
I have to say the synopsis. The Enterprise encounters.
But he didn't give his vote for the.
Oh, yeah.
Episode.
Oh, yeah. No, he said it was. What did you say? It was remarkable.
I said it was remarkable.
Yeah, he used a clip, Jesse.
Remarkable?
Dan does this from time to time. What the audience might not realize
is. You said it was remarkable?
The audience is probably like, okay, this is just something funny Dan does like during the podcast from time to time. No, sometimes Dan responds in real life with clips.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
I had to have that surgically altered to do that. Yeah. it was awesome. I say awesome.
All right. So yes. We're all awesome for those first two episodes. But now.
I said both.
Now we're on. Yeah, that's right. You said both. Now we're on One of Our Planets is Missing. And the synopsis is the Enterprise encounters a giant cloud creature that feeds on the energy of the planets that lie in its path.
Planet?
They determine that it's heading for Mantilles, home to a Federation colony governed by former Starfleet officer Bob Wesley, previously featured in the TOS episode, The Ultimate Computer.
Planet.
I remember the cloud creature and all the flashing lights. You know,
was this the one where it had the antimatter cilia that they were going through?
Yes, that's what it was. Because in Beyond the Farthest Star, it's a spaceship, but it's very organic and pod-like.
And they can walk through it.
But this, although they're wearing their trademark TAS glow.
Yeah, they didn't
suits.
Really bring those back in the later episodes.
I heard that that idea for those glowing, those life support belts was something I think they even came up with on TOS, but they could never, there was no way to do the effects. Right. Like they just never figured that out.
So I was conflating episode 3 with one. Mm-hmm. One was just this cool squishy ship they walk around.
Pod like ships.
It was a squishy goop. It was
so lonely.
It was a squishy goopy ship they walked through. Yes. And this was a cloud had antimatter digestive cloud system.
It was like slurping up planets and slurping on the ship. I just don't remember.
I don't remember too well either.
I don't remember.
I remember enough. I like the idea of like its antimatter digestive system. Yeah. So I'm gonna say awesome.
It was a neat. It was one of those neat looking.
Yeah,
visual.
I remember visually it was really cool.
Yes,
I probably lean towards awesome as well. How about you, Jesse? Awesome.
I think I'm gonna go with awesome. Yeah.
I can't. Nothing particularly silly it jumps out of me from my memory.
It was good visuals.
Now, season 1, episode 4, The Lorelei Signal.
I'm translating the signal, sir.
Investigating a sector of space where starships have disappeared every 27 years. The Enterprise finds a race of beautiful women living on the planet Taurus 2.
It was kind of silly.
I thought it was both. I thought it was awesome. You know why I thought it was awesome?
I'm going to go with both.
Okay, look. Here's the deal. Lorelei Signal, I remember very well. It's one of my favorites in terms of enjoyment level. It has a lot that's silly. But what I found awesome about it was that the female crew of the Enterprise, led by Uhura, just comes in and takes care of business.
Yeah.
Like with no trouble at all. For folks in the audience who don't recall, in that episode, the male crew are ensnared by a bunch of lady aliens who are trying to
Scotty starts singing like random songs.
Yeah, they're sucking
the men's life force away.
They're taking Kirk's semen or something.
That was
something.
That was some kind of metaphor for some writers' issues.
If I remember, it wasn't even clear that it was a metaphor for slurping his life. Like I think it was kind of set up.
Kirk
was like tied to a bed and they were like sucking out his semen.
Yeah, I think it was a metaphor for the writers. Like he was having issues, and then he made an episode out of it with women.
So, and there are some things that could be considered. It's one of those weird episodes, and I'm sure it still happens today, maybe in a different context, but. In the 60s and 70s, you had a lot of things that were trying to be progressive, but only got it like half right. Mm. And this is one of those ones where it is simultaneously progressive in the sense that Uhura and Nurse Chapel and the others are the ones who save the day, and they're portrayed as being professional. They're not like using their feminine wiles or anything as a trick. They're professional
totally
military officers, and they come and they save the male counterparts and their crew. That's really progressive. That's very pro women. On the other hand, the entire premise of the episode is a sinister race of women who ensnare men to slurp out their semen, and like you said, Dan, you can imagine the writer is in one of those L.A. hotel rooms that's sort of like a hostel for divorced men.
He's just bitterly
writing this.
Oh, that's
like, sucking out my life energy.
That reminds me of this movie I've been meaning to see with Ben Stiller called Permanent Midnight, which
I heard that was good.
I think it's about like I don't remember if it's like a true story or if it's historical fiction or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Like I seem to think it was related to like a writer on Alf or something like that.
Yeah, there's the puppet. I think it was the puppeteer of Alf.
Okay, so it was based on a true story. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but
we'll look into
it. It's one of those
later
movies that it's like I want to see it, but I'm also kind of like I don't know if I'm actually going to want to. I don't know. Am I watching because I want to, or just because I want to? It's like do I want to watch it because I want to watch it, or do I want to watch it to say that I've watched it?
Damn.
And if I want to watch it to say that I've watched it, is that worth me taking the time to actually
watch
it?
What if you not watched it and said that you
did? If I watched it just to say that I watched it, that implies that I won't enjoy actually watching
what
it.
What if I watched you watch it?
Can I watch you watch it too?
Dan, I know we're not in the business of inorganic humor, but you did reference Alf. I mean, could you give us a little, you know?
If this is your idea of humor.
Hey, Willie!
Okay, thank you.
Got any cat?
Thank you. That's really what I was.
Hey, Jesse!
The kid from Alf died.
You got any?
He did, I know. I shouldn't be laughing at that.
It's because he was a cat.
I think he's probably had horrible problems.
He had like a heat stroke in a car.
That's right. He died in a car.
Well, that bums me out. Right. Yeah. Now I feel like an asshole for doing the Alf voice.
Yeah, but it's not like you did the little kid voice.
He died with his dog.
Yeah. Yeah, his dog died too.
Because he lived in Arizona.
It's fucking depressing.
God, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Right.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break. We're going to stop laughing about the dead dog.
I'm not laughing about the dead dog.
I'm laughing about something else, but in conjunction with the tragic news.
Cosmic joke.
Cosmic joke indeed. Okay, we will all be right back.
You'll never hear from us again.
All right.
This guy's ass bright.
You all ready?
Connect to your crew.
Okay. All right. We're back.
I call that style of command a first mistake. A kind that makes my head shake and my heart break.
All right. That's a little preview for nothing in particular. Dan sometimes plays, you know, out of context sounds. Don't worry about it. We have returned from the break.
Hey, it's a lot of brain power trying to think of what to play at, like, any given moment.
I don't disagree, sir.
One might argue I should play less things then, but that would be fun.
Fewer things.
Season one, let's
keep moving along home here.
You know, you'd say I like him fewer than I like that guy. That's what you would say. That's when you use fewer.
Pushing buttons. Pushing
mayonnaise.
Dan has an array of very large buttons in front of him. He's smashing them.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I'm done.
Okay. Moving along. We have season one, episode five, More Tribbles, More Troubles. Synopsis is, while the USS Enterprise escorts two robot cargo ships carrying Quinto Triticale, a new seed grain, to famine-stricken Sherman's planet, it encounters a Klingon battlecruiser pursuing a Federation scout ship. When the Enterprise rescues the pilot, the Klingons attack with a new energy weapon and demand that the pilot be handed over to them. Now, here's this synopsis does not explain that in the process there's a whole bunch of tribble business.
It seemed preferable to claims of a tribble infestation.
The gimmick in this case was that instead of the tribbles multiplying a bunch, the tribbles grow really big. And that leads to hilarity because you got the guys you got the crew all dealing with the big tribbles.
Right. I have very little memory of this episode.
And then they have a little creature that eats the tribbles.
That's
and it makes a creepy sound. It's like make it like
a, tribbles are cute.
Yeah, this is for me. This is a firmly both. I do remember this being fun and a fun tribble story, but also super silly.
It's silly, but it's a classic.
And I think in the end, like they blow up a big giant tribble, and it just turns into like a thousand little tribbles. Like it's silly, but it well crafted. I thought it was a good story.
What do you say?
Yeah, what are you saying, Dan?
Blabberina.
I say both.
I don't really remember the episode.
Dan does not remember. Oh, you know why? Because you weren't on that episode with us. Jesse and I discussed that when we talked about the trouble with Edward. You were off doing some crazy business.
I was wearing the Picard ninja suit.
Secret mission.
Dan does do that sometimes. Professionally, there were four lights. As a hobby.
That happened for a trouble with tribbles. Didn't you guys do a trouble with tribbles?
We did. We did a few tribbles in a row.
A tribble trilogy.
Yeah, because there was a few different tribble episodes. We also did Trials and Tribulations.
Tribulations
with in Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. All right. Season 1, Episode 6, The Survivor.
You won't survive.
Patrolling near the Romulan neutral zone, the USS Enterprise finds a ship carrying Carter Winston, a Federation citizen and philanthropist. A Federation citizen and philanthropist who has been missing for 5 years.
Succotash.
I remember this episode.
Nobody's read a book in here in 1,000 years.
This is the one where the guy is not the guy. He's like some creepy alien who then we see later on Lower Decks. I don't remember enough to... I'd probably have to put it... I don't remember it being that silly.
I don't remember this one at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to refrain.
Yeah.
You've only lost 6 hours.
I'll probably just
sound like 6 years.
I'll say it's awesome. How about you, Dan? Do you have a recollection of this?
I have no recollection of this.
Carter Winston?
I'm being boring for these last two.
No.
I wonder if this was another one I wasn't around
for. Well, I think you'll...
I remember the next one.
Everyone remembers the next one. Season 1, episode 7, The Infinite Vulcan.
I have unlimited power and infinite knowledge.
While visiting the newly discovered planet Phylos, Lieutenant Sulu picks up a walking plant called a Retlaw and is poisoned. The alien species that inhabit the planet, who are plant-like beings, approach and save Sulu's life, but kidnap Mr. Spock. It's like one of the most awkwardly worded synopses. The Infinite Vulcan's a famous one. For me, firm both, because it's awesome and it's super silly. Because
is that the one with the big Spock?
That's with the big Spock. We get giant so Spock. Big?
See, that's I would say it's more silly than awesome. But the thing is giant Spock is so out of nowhere and so baffling that it kind of makes it more awesome.
And the visuals in this episode with all the plant land, like the plant empire and all the plant creatures, was pretty cool. It's a very Vulcan. It's a good example of like how TAS, one of the great things about it was that it would take advantage of the animated format to do these vast, beautiful landscapes and crazy buildings and architecture. And then of course all the silhouette running, which was always fun.
Yeah.
But great work.
You really Vulcaned it up.
But some of the same stuff that makes this an awesome episode also make it a silly episode because like you said, like the Spock thing is both awesome and silly.
Is it a solid both?
For me, it's a both.
I'd say it's slightly more silly. I may be adding too many shades of nuance to this rating system.
That's fine.
You think it's a little more on the silly?
A little more silly than awesome.
Fair enough. I'd say it's both.
I think the next one might be controversial as well. Season 1, Episode 08, The Magics of Megas 2.
I don't have that kind of magical power.
While exploring near the center of the galaxy, the USS Enterprise is caught inside an energy matter vortex, and all her computer systems fail. A being named Lucian appears on the bridge, repairs the ship's systems, and takes the crew to explore his planet, Megas 2.
They went to the magician world or something, right?
There was
a Salem witch trial going on there too,
This is the episode, this is one of my favorite episodes of TAS, it's one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek, because Captain Kirk and crew have to team up with Satan to fight a bunch of Christian religious maniacs.
Yeah, right.
And it's so fucking weird.
It's so weird.
Yes, because Satan... He's saying his name is Lucian, but yeah, it's fucking. He's got hooves. He's a satyr.
Hooves.
He's,
look at my hooves.
He's Satan, and they have to go fight a bunch of Salem witch trial pilgrimy type.
I am tempted to say that this episode is part silly, but no, I think it's all awesome.
There is a lot silly in this, but it almost leans over to like the thing is Kirk uses rainbow magic in one, like the solution, because like the premise is that they go to a planet where I remember when we discussed this. The premise is they go to a planet where magic is real.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's the center of the universe.
The scientific
galaxy.
The scientific explanation was just the planet, that the magic was real on this planet.
Yeah.
And so Kirk is like, oh, that's how we solve our problem. And he uses, he shoots rainbow beams at a big, fat, corpulent, disgusting minister type who's been leading the persecution of women and minorities in this village.
And like, there was no, like, the fact that, it's like, oh, you can do magic, and Kirk figures out the problem by just doing whatever he wants. There's obviously, that, like, would normally be criticized for, like, low-effort writing, but, like, it worked because the episode was so fucking weird.
They set it up for that.
They went so far out there with this episode that I can only respect it. It's like, they didn't try to make it, like, be, like, down to earth at all.
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, this is at the center of the galaxy in TS, and TOS at the center, and TNG at the center of the galaxy, where those mischievous, like, aliens that brought people to them, that like plant smart things into people's brains.
The nth degree aliens.
Yeah, right.
Jesse, what's your rating? Awesome, both, silly?
I'll say both.
All right.
Because you did make a lot of good points towards the awesome factor.
Yeah.
But it's
kind
of silly.
Got some silly.
I'm all awesome on that one.
All right. Season 1, episode 9, Once Upon a Planet.
Once upon a time.
The Enterprise crew revisits the amusement park planet first seen in the classic Trek episode Shore Leave, hoping for
this planet has no honor.
Hoping for some rest and relaxation. So Shore Leave is the one where they see the Alice in Wonderland and the rabbit, and Kirk gets beat up by his old Irish bully, because like on Star Trek, for some reason, Irish people are always like terrible. Yeah. I don't know why.
I would think I would have a memory of this, but I don't have a memory of this.
This might jog your memory. This is the episode where McCoy fondly fantasizes about having a plantation.
Oh yeah,
he's all
right.
He's all happy about that.
Right, that was weird.
It was where the computers that control all the amusement stuff like gain consciousness and get aggravated by the humans or something and start fucking with them.
What the devil's going on?
Yeah,
fuck.
That's right.
What the devil's going on?
It's a fun episode, but it's mostly just silly, you know? Yeah. What's good about it is unlike the Counterclock incident, a lot of these episodes, even if they're silly, they're still like well-written, they're well-structured.
Like the Counterclock incident.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's your prerogative.
But you're just like, unlike us, it's got Star Trek, who unanimously agree that the Counterclock incident is the worst episode of all time.
Even you agreed that it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, but
it was weirdly structured.
It was not as good as the Center of the Galaxy one, but it was like, it was just, anytime they talk about time talk never makes any sense. No matter what you do, it never fully makes sense. Yeah. So why not make it even more ridiculous?
So I don't know. I'll put silly. I'm going to go silly with that one. Jesse, silly for your recollection.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with silly.
Still worth watching. That's an interesting episode. A lot, especially about like
silly's not bad.
Artificial. Yeah, exactly. It can be done well. For example, season 1, episode 10, Mud's Passion.
We always seem to muddle through somehow.
You've got one of these for every one of these. The USS Enterprise receives orders to arrest Federation outlaw Harry Mudd, who is accused of selling fake love crystals. Intercepting Harry on the mining colony of Motherlode.
Motherlode.
That's a little on the nose. They bring him aboard the Enterprise. This is, for me, it's a firmly...
I love you, Daddy.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know.
Fake love potion.
Okay. All right. Okay. Kind of.
It's love is the answer.
It is a silly episode. It's a good episode, though. And it's got a couple key things that jump out is he has these love crystals, but they do kind of work, right? Which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's that whole thing with like Spock and like Chapel.
Yeah, right.
And there's a
Nurse Chapel?
Yes, or Dr. Chapel. because she has a, you know, she has a medical degree.
Oh, she, well, they always, everyone always calls her Nurse Chapel.
Yeah, I know. I guess ranks are more misogynistic in the future.
I'm just going by what the episode calls her. The don't get mad at me for just following what they say in the episode.
Everyone's like worried, you know, justifiably worried about, you know, parts of the world becoming more misogynistic, more prejudiced, you know, sort of going backwards in time a little bit. And hopefully that doesn't happen. But the thing is like, if you're looking at like The Cage or some of these episodes, you're like, because like on The Cage, like Captain Pike was like, I'm still can't get used to a woman on the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was an episode last week,
Corbin Might Maneuver, Kirk was
complaining
like,
about getting another female yeoman.
He was thrown off.
Yeah.
Dietary salad.
Anyway.
It was just a bunch of leaves.
Anyway, Mud's passion was, it was a good mud story, right? You know,
it's got mud in it.
It's got mud.
How bad can it be?
Yeah. Like a mud pie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Season one, episode 11, The Territon Incident.
Mm-hmm.
While observing a burnt out supernova, the USS Enterprise picks up a strange message transmitted in a 200-year-old code.
We will forget this incident.
Yeah. There are rumors of an incident.
That's it? You don't have any other incidents?
No more incidents.
Because there was like the Corbomite incident.
I think the Territon was
incident. They never said
it was silly.
There's the Corbomite maneuver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're
right. Not incident.
What am I talking about? Yeah, there's the Andorian incident.
Yeah, there's a few incident episodes. Yeah. There's a few things named incident. Like this last one is a counterclock incident.
Yes, the counter. That's what I was thinking of.
And Territon incident. But they didn't say incident in that episode.
No, they didn't say
I'll show you an incident.
Oh, man. Why would you do that?
There's many ways to interpret that. Jesse, I agree with you. Silly. This was a silly one. Didn't this have like tiny people in it or something?
Yeah, everyone shrunk.
Yeah,
sort of like tiny business or something?
Completely silly bullshit.
But, you know, that's kind of like on the same level of why counterclock incident is cool, because it's so silly and ridiculous. Yeah. It's just dumb.
Nope.
All right. Season one, episode 12.
I can't help it.
Season one, episode 12, The Time Trap. Talking about time talk.
Time talk.
While exploring the Delta the Delta Triangle, not the Delta Quadrant, while exploring the Delta Triangle. Delta Triangle.
I believe you were trapped inside the Royale, just as I am.
While exploring the Delta Triangle, where many starships have disappeared. Oh, it's a Bermuda Triangle thing.
That's Bizertac.
While exploring the Delta Triangle, where many starships have disappeared, the USS Enterprise is attacked by several Klingon vessels. During the battle, they are caught in an ion storm. The Enterprise and one Klingon battlecruiser are drawn into a space-time vortex and end up in a timeless dimension.
You shouldn't have walked into my gone trap then.
I think I remember that one.
I remember the visuals of the Enterprise with the Klingon ship, and it's almost like a ship graveyard because there's like all these other ships from all sorts of different races all floating around.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember much beyond that.
I do remember bits.
I think it was one of the ones that was not as silly. That was more sort of straightforward Star Trek problem solving.
Yeah.
Maybe the Klingons came off as a little silly or something. I think that's the one where like at one point the Klingons like have their, like Spock has his arms around a couple of Klingons, like they're being all buddies.
This was the
might be.
Wait, which one are we talking about?
We're talking about the time trap.
Oh, I was thinking the next one. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Well, we can move along to the next one because you know I'll say awesome.
Move along.
I'll just say awesome because I don't remember anything.
I'll say awesome as well.
Season one, episode 13, the Ambergris element. Mm-hmm. While exploring the water planet Argo.
What are you talking about?
Silly. Completely silly.
Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock are transformed into water breathers.
What are you worried about?
By the planet's undersea inhabitants, the Aquans. Again,
what are you saying?
On the nose. In order to return to their normal selves, they must enlist the help of the Aquans to capture a giant sur snake.
Did you say Quapcha?
Quapcha.
Quapcha.
They must enlist.
What are you doing?
They must enlist the help of the Aquans to capture.
Quapcha.
What are you waiting for?
A giant sur snake whose venom holds the antidote.
What are your plans?
What are we going to do?
This was silly. I remember being aggravated by this.
This was one of the. I don't remember.
It was like the second one we did.
This
and the first one was better.
This one had the same issue as another episode that I don't remember, but it was another TAS episode where like there's supposed to be tension at the end because McCoy was like, it was either McCoy or Kirk. Kirk was poisoned.
Kirk was transformed, and he needed to transform back into non-Gil person.
And
McCoy was worried that it was going to kill him.
Yeah, he was like, he gave him the antidote, and he was like, oh, it's too much, it's going to kill him. And so we just have to wait for about a minute of like, is he going to die? Is he not going to die? First of all, we know he's not going to die, but there wasn't even any,
No, it was like padding out time.
When I say action, I don't necessarily mean like a fight scene. Nothing. Yeah. You just sat.
Just some sort of something happens, something advances in the plot.
You watch Kirk change colors a few times.
Yes.
And like,
his gills disappeared.
Yeah, in 40 seconds. So it's like supposed to be, we're supposed to be sitting there at that time being like, will he? Won't he?
What's going on?
But like, there's nothing going on screen that indicates any tension to
nothing
us.
Nothing at all.
They just play some kind of music, basically. All right.
Now we're moving into the Slaver Weapon, season 1, episode 14. The Slaver Weapon.
Q weapons.
In the shuttlecraft Copernicus, Mr. Spock, Uhura, and Sulu are en route to Starbase 25 to deliver a stasis box, a rare artifact of the slaver culture, the Zinti intervene.
I was going to say that I thought the ambergris element was silly.
Oh, okay. Yes, we forgot to confirm. Yeah. Okay, silly. This one, I don't know. I can't remember. There wasn't so much silly.
It has the other kind of cat people.
It has the Zinti, where they're like, rah, 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 rah. You remember that? They're all like, yeah. Rah. Did you have any recordings from this episode? I think this is when we started having some recordings somewhere around here.
Was it the slaver weapon?
Yeah, the Eye of the Beholder, the Jihad. It's maybe not. Maybe not yet. Maybe it's a couple coming up.
No, I don't have any on here until like season 2.
Until what about the Jihad?
It's still till season 2.
This is episode 162. Yeah. It's got started.
First of all, that's wrong. Second of all, that's not what I'm talking about.
Slaver weapon. I'll just say it was awesome. I do remember. I don't remember too much silly stuff. I remember. Sort of the basic idea was that there was like a super weapon and different people like trying to get at it. And, you know, it was like, what are we going to do with the clicking the buttons? And stuff.
I have in my notes, funny lake monster.
Ah, okay. I don't remember.
Dinosaur folks.
I vaguely remember the dinosaur thing.
No, dinosaur falls. I'm sorry.
Was there like
can't read my handwriting.
Was there a rock monster in this one or was that a different one?
Slug creatures?
I don't know. Who knows? Dan, do you have any opinion?
I have no much. I remember the name.
I don't remember either.
I remember the.
I just have some notes.
I remember the name of the episode, but I don't remember exactly what sort of happened.
All right, well, we'll move along. So, season 1, episode 15, The Eye of the Beholder.
Good eye, muffin top.
The disappearance of a scientific team lures the USS Enterprise to investigate near Lactra 7. The starship Ariel is located there, abandoned, with its captain having transported to the planet's surface.
Well, I mean, this is one of like the many sort of episodes where like humans get like put in a zoo of some sort.
Yes.
And so like I'll say like those episodes are always fun in every kind of iteration
I remember being pretty cool, and so
I would say that it gets an awesomeness for that. I wouldn't say it's specifically silly, but it isn't exactly terribly. It isn't exactly silly, but it like it wasn't like terribly inspired. Yeah. So it's hard to rate it because on the one hand it's awesome, but it doesn't really fit the scale because it's neither awesome or silly. It's just
has to fit the scale.
Okay, so I guess I have to say it's awesome and silly then because it's about, it's in the middle.
I think here's how I can help you justify.
Hopefully,
it.
The awesome and silly cancel each other out.
If I'm remembering correctly, I think I can help you sort this out. Is this the one that had the like the elephant nose creatures, the silly word, and that's they were grabbing the people with that? Was that this one?
I don't know.
I think that might be this one because in fact I'm 100% sure because it's like look up the Eye of the Beholder and see if you see the goofy elephant nose creatures because I think that firmly puts it into the both category.
Oh yeah, the Eye of the Beholder. The crew meets the Lactrans, a group of 20-foot slugs who capture them.
They capture them with their noses swirled around them.
Spock discovers the Lactrans are telepathic, but the speed at... Okay, it's something about the speed at which their thoughts... And then it dotted.
Yeah, anyway, that's why it's silly in both. Okay.
The speed at which their thoughts flow is too difficult to comprehend. Yeah, that is pretty silly.
Yeah, so both.
Both.
Season 1, episode 16, The Jihad. The USS Enterprise arrives at the Vidalia asteroid.
Vidalia?
Yes. Vidala.
Amelia Bedelia?
No. Ollie Oxenfree, where Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock have been summoned to learn about a stolen religious artifact, the soul of the score, whose theft could ignite a galactic holy war. Now, the thing about this episode was, it's not bad. It's a little weird because it's as if there's like an Avengers team where there's like the Federation and all these other people are like, something's gone down, so we're gonna send representatives from all our people to all get together and like solve whatever this problem is, and you know, it has this whole galactic holy war stuff in the background.
We're done with you and your damn temporal cold war.
Which episode did we talk about that?
That was I don't remember.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Tropicana. I don't remember it either. You remember that commercial? It's all like Tropicana. That's
got a lady and then that one has some rock creatures. They have to like fight some rock people.
Hey,
and
do you guys remember that commercial? It's all like Tropicana, 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 Tropicana.
No.
It was like in the '90s.
No, I didn't watch that.
I don't remember that shit.
Yeah. Sorry.
Remember when McDonald's has its slogan was "Good time, great taste"?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Then it was "Food, folks, and fun" for a while, and it stuck with "I'm loving it" for the longest time. I think.
Yeah. Whoa. All right.
Remember that Billy Joel song? It's all like "For the longest time."
I'll just put "Awesome for the Jihad," even though I remember being like, eh, mm-hmm. Well, whatever. Jesse doesn't know, and Dan, do you have any recollection?
I remember the name very specifically, and I remember seeing it. I just, like, I'm kind of blanking on what goes on.
That's all right. Season 2, episode 1, The Pirates of Orion.
I'm a pirate queen.
In the spirit of being a pirate, perhaps you should simply refuse to go.
Spock contracts a fatal illness, and the cure can only be found with the dangerous Orion
this
pirates.
This is the sabotage.
Whoa!
Is this where he says sabotage?
Yeah.
Where he's like, sabotage? Hurricanes.
I think it is. Yeah.
Do you have a recording of Captain Kirk saying sabotage?
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
I don't know, maybe that's on a Jihad.
Sabotage.
That one?
No. Captain Kirk saying sabotage.
He's son of a bitch.
Sabotage.
That one?
Sabotage.
No, I know for a fact we have Captain Kirk saying sabotage.
Looks like there's about to be a shift change.
Fast talking bourbon.
Sabotage.
That one's mainly silly because the Orions are all like weird colors and they have crazy ships and stuff, although Lower Decks brought those
crazy
ships back
shit.
Which was pretty awesome because Lower Decks has really been at building out the
let me support Orion my number
stuff.
One Orion amiga.
I'll say both. There was silly stuff in there. And I think the plot was sort of silly because, mm-hmm. Spock, I forget, gets poisoned or pricked or something.
The Orions
like
kind of have like some He-Man looking suits on.
Yeah, and weird helmets. It's like a whole odd business. Okay, season 2, episode 2. Bem!
Bem! Good old Bem!
Bem! The Enterprise crew is taken captive by a race of primitives.
Assistance is offered.
On a newly discovered planet, yeah.
You will require it.
Bem is one of those episodes. I really like Bem.
It's Area Ben Bem of the planet Panda.
That's one reason why I like it, right? Right? Because of that. Area Ben Bem of the planet Bubba. I like episodes where there's like an alien character or a new character. It doesn't actually have to be Star Trek because there's other shows have done this. Sitcoms have done this. The style of episode, the trope of a new person shows up and everyone's like, for social and contextual reasons, has to be nice to the person. Mm-hmm. And the person is a complete fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
And like, I just like watching Kirk and Spock and McCoy. Everybody's trying to navigate this fucking Bem asshole who's being a total piece of shit. And then in the end, you're like, haha, I was a piece of shit on purpose. Because that's like, we think that's a hilarious way to like study people is to be like a complete motherfucker.
The food they have gathered is Bem.
And there are so many lines. Now, it's definitely silly. There's so much silly stuff. Because,
embarrassment results.
Because for people who don't recall, Bem, one of the clever little things about the Bem species is that they can split into three pieces.
Yeah, that's right.
And wander around. And he's like pickpocketing people with his hands, swimming underwater and stuff.
This is awesome, but it's also like, it's also silly because the way the limbs move around, it's so very obvious they just took the cell animation cell like apart.
Hilarious.
Because the arm just floats like in the same like angled position statically across the screen.
Ridiculous.
And there's no explanation given as to why it can split up.
Nope.
And the body just is like, let's just disconnect the torso the torso from the hips or whatever, you know, like, and it was very
and
obvious.
They do the same thing in they have one of the same species in Lower Decks. More modern animation.
Yeah, that's
of course.
Right. Yeah.
But it was awesome because, like you said, he was being a total piece of shit, and it turns out that was just like the way they tested. Yeah. Everyone in Star Trek is the crew is always getting tested by some mischievous alien race
who have some different ethical standards.
Yeah, like for the nth degree, for example.
Yes, nth degree.
Nth degree.
Fancy Barkley.
Yeah, there was the one recently of that we watched of TOS, the Corbomite.
Yeah, maneuver.
Like the way he was doing his silly tests on him was by destroying their equipment. Yeah. Like threatening their lives and fucking their shit up.
I still don't buy that. My theory is Baylock was like just totally was like, fuck, I just
See, that's why I wouldn't have had the Tranya, because like
you think it's
drugged? It would have been like a last ditch effort to like fucking bring him down.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's keep it moving.
This is Tranya.
Season 2, Episode 3, The Practical Joker. A strange energy field causes the Enterprise computer to play practical jokes on the crew, but the humor...
Bones, the worst thing you can do to a practical joker is to play a practical joke on them.
But the humor soon turns to danger, and I love Kirk's logic in that. this is where we get the famous Kirk is a jerk shirt.
That's right.
We get all sorts of goofy stuff. I put this as both awesome and silly.
It's like a both one.
Because it is filled with silliness. But at the same, like, I think their food replicators or food dispensers are like mixing stuff up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of silliness, but it's also meant to be a funny concept, but it's also an interesting concept where the computer sort of gets corrupted in such a way that it starts being all mischievous.
Precisely.
And it's something we don't see a mischievous computer a lot. We see malfunctioning, but not necessarily mischievous.
I'm looking at this episode, and this is episode by far has the most amount of so I have different categories. I have a category just called sound, which is just sound effects, and laughter is included. Uh-huh. Laughter or vocal.
The best medicine.
Laughter or when someone says huh, or hey, those counts as sounds to me too. And so this one has the most amount of sounds, and most of it is laughter. And I think it's mostly the computer laughing. It's it's like I have rows and rows of this shit.
Report.
there's 7.
My notes say everyone has a case of the sillies.
Yeah.
There's about
it's definitely silly.
There's about at least 35 laughter sounds I think I have in here.
Well, you can keep playing those on an ad hoc basis, but we do need to move along. I think most of us have either both or silly or awesome. Well, yeah, whatever. Season 2, episode 4, Albatross.
Albatross.
This is the one where I say more like Star Trek WTF.
I know. Dr. McCoy is arrested for allegedly causing a deadly plague, which once ravaged the planet Dramia. And they are so dramatic on Dramia. This is a tricky one. This is a very serious episode. I remember because it was all about a near genocide caused by accident because McCoy was doing vaccinations. And I forget the reason, but there was something that had nothing to do with McCoy or anything. It was just a fluke thing that resulted in a number of people dying. And I don't know. It was just really intense. So I guess
slaughter.
I guess I got to put it in the awesome.
Well, it's awesome because this is where this comes from.
The Capellan Power Cat.
Yes, that's right.
Capellan Power Cat Power.
That's where they get the.
It's pretty awesome.
The antidote, don't they? That's where they figure something out.
Power. Capellan Power Cat.
This is a Capellan Power Cat.
So it that makes it awesome as well. So
Capellan
justifiedly
power
awesome. Okay.
Good heavens.
Season 2, episode 5.
What the devil's going on?
Season 2, episode 5, How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth. Actually, isn't this where we get the Capellan Power Cat?
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You know why? Yeah. It's because we did both episodes in one day.
Yes, we did.
I had them together. My bad.
How Sharper Than a Serpent's Tooth.
So, wait, we have to re-review Albatross then.
Well, I'm still just calling it out. Awesome.
Well, that was the one. Yeah, that was the one where I was like, I was taking some issue with that episode because, he performed a vaccination on his planet, Yeah. And Starfleet didn't find out about it until like many years later.
Oh yeah, there was something.
And you and me
weird.
Had a disagreement yes, over that, Patrick, because yeah, I said that
physical altercation.
Yeah, I said that Starfleet.
Fisticuffs.
I said that the Federation would have known at the time it happened. You were like, yeah. No, it's perfectly plausible that they well, wouldn't have found out because
it wasn't Federation space. All right. We don't need to relitigate.
Let me present my argument, then you present your argument.
No, we already did this.
My argument was.
We can go listen to it.
My argument was that the Federation would have known at the time of the inoculations that it happened, and your argument was no, they would not have necessarily known yes. because the universe is big.
And for the more fulsome argument, go back and listen to that episode. It will be in the show notes.
Your treachery is transparent, Vulcan.
But how sharper than a serpent's tooth is...
Albatross, I would say, was fine.
Awesome. A mysterious being threatens to destroy the Enterprise if the crew is unable to solve an ancient puzzle.
It was that cuckoo.
Yes. It was the cuckoo cola. It was from the Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Kuklakan. Kuklakan. Kuklakan.
Okay.
Kuklakan.
There's a nuance here because...
Nuance alone.
The part I don't like about this episode is... It is really playing sort of fast and loose with some of the mythology and it's just sort of taking stuff and
Kuklakan.
It's a little it's one of the it's like we talked about it being like that classic like the 1970s white people thinking they're doing other cultures a favor by crudely using and remixing some of their cultural tales.
Kuklakan. Kuklakan.
I'm not a huge fan of that. But leaving that aside, I do remember the episode being fairly enjoyable in terms of like it was an interesting idea.
That's cool.
The pyramid stuff, it was solving riddles and puzzles in a kind of an interesting way.
It was because the serpent creature looked pretty cool. Yeah. It was kind of arbitrary how they smashed all the religions together.
You like riddles and puzzles,
but
don't you?
Ignoring
me.
Well, because I'm in the middle of making a point, and like you're just telling me to like stop what I'm doing, just to answer a non-question that you just gave me. Like you're asking me to be complicit in your sabotage of my fucking
sabotage.
My point was that it was kind of arbitrary how they smashed all those different religions together. But like you were saying, Patrick, it was done for the purpose of sort of like paying homage to all the religions by saying, oh, all these different religions you have on Earth, they all come from the same place, which I say in theory, that's kind of a fun message to say that everything comes from the same place and we're not so different after all. But on the other hand, I do agree with what you're saying about how it is kind of like pandering, I guess.
They were sitting around thinking they were doing a good thing.
Yeah, right.
That's a problem with a lot of, not just white people, but, you know, a lot of white people in power.
Kuklakan never appeared. Like, Kuklakan.
I'm going to help. This is how I'm going to help. I'm not going to ask people how they want help. I'm going to help.
The snake was weird. It's always fun to see a cool, like, snake creature. That's kind of fun.
There was just a lot of cool
stuff.
There was a
weird moment where they had to, like, turn these reflectors to shine the light onto some part. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. But it was very Zelda.
But this was another one of the episodes where I played it already, where Kirk, of course, William Shatner has to pronounce it his own way.
Kuklakan. 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 Kuklakan.
Yeah.
Kuklakan.
Kuklakan. Kuklakan.
Yeah. Kuklakan. Kuklakan.
Everyone says Kuklakan except for Kirk, who says
Kuklakan. All right. Season 2, Episode 6, The Counterclock Incident. The last episode, the series finale,
Did we decide how sharper than a serpent's tooth was awesome and silly, or just mostly silly?
I put both. For me, it's both. Yeah. With the caveat being I'm not a big fan of the way they handle the cultures. Counterclock incident, I just put silly.
I say it was silly. I was awesome with a dash of silly.
A dash.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with like a capital A.
I thought it was awesome with just a little bit of silly in
it.
But like part of the silly is what made the time talk is just always
time talk.
It's always so fun. The accuracy of time talk is irrelevant because time talk is always kind of ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. So it's always kind of fun, even if they don't try very hard, it's always fun to hear somebody and their interpretation of what it means for things to be backwards.
I enjoyed the episode. It's not my favorite.
Just for the sake of like, it's like just because somebody doesn't, it's fun to hear other people's work. It's like if you go to an art gallery and you look at art, right? Not all the art's great, but the act of looking at all of it is a greater pleasure. And you might say, this picture is not my favorite. This picture is, this picture, this drawing.
Okay.
But like, you might say, this one's cool and this one kind of is not so cool. But the overall experience of experiencing people's thoughts and ideas, and it's always fun.
Yes.
He's telling us he likes the episode. We're way over time.
I know, I don't get to finish what I'm saying. I feel like I have to say it again.
I know, but it sounds like you've been saying it again.
I know because you keep interrupting me. Yes, you did the whole fucking time. You kept. See, that's a you don't even realize when you do.
Okay,
it.
Then we don't realize it, but we do have to stop the podcast. It's too
much. Well, just like let me fucking say what I say without conclusion for me.
Okay, all right.
No one gave you a jump to conclusions, Matt.
No, I'm still looking on Amazon, and it's still not there. Office Space lied to us.
So I like the idea of hearing people's opinion on Time Talk.
Send us your emails to feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. Time Talk, subject line, Time Talk. Sincerely, please do. We would like to hear your opinions on Time Talk. You can also get us on social media.
Get us.
At It's Got Star Trek. Hashtag Time Talk.
Coming to get you.
Website, www.itsgotstartrek, Patreon/itsgotstartrek, all that jazz. You know all this stuff. It's all good. We hope you enjoyed this discussion of both the Counterclock incident and the animated series more generally. I'm actually a little sad that we're done covering it because I always enjoy talking about the animated series.
Well,
we're always very animated when we discuss the animated
series. Hey!
But sincerely, we are.
I could go back to the triple one since I missed that and do my very own episode about
We should throw that up on the Patreon. Damn.
Yeah, you gotta
even more triple.
You gotta pay for that one.
Yeah, pay the money for Dan's special treats.
Oh, that sounds perverted.
Well, it doesn't have to be. I mean, but it could be. We'll see.
We'll see.
Go check out the Patreon.
Yes, we'll see how I feel about it as it's happening.
Look at the type of stuff you may be missing out on. No promises. All right. So next week we mentioned earlier the Counterclock incident had some shades of TNG's Rascals. Well, that made us think, why don't we discuss TNG's Rascals? So next week, we will be discussing the TNG episode Rascals.
He's my number one dad.
I know that's going to make certainly a couple of our listeners very happy. I'm super excited about that. It's a fun episode.
He's my number one dad. He's my number one dad.
Don't give it all away until next week.
Okay.
You can save some for next week. Okay.
I was getting worked up. I only meant to do it once, but I couldn't stop.
It's all good. It's all good.
Hey, Willie.
Anyway,
got any cat?
That was fun.
This is old school. Kicking
that's
it old
all
school.
Concluded. We'll get back. We'll keep it in the animated sphere because we're gonna try to start doing some covering some Prodigy because we've been lax on the Prodigy, so we're gonna try to start doing that sometime in the not too distant future. So that's something to look forward to next week, Rascals. Until then, have a lovely.
We must discover a way to return to our positive matter universe.
Sorry. Time. Have a lovely time.
I didn't mean to play that.
I'm not entirely sure what I was going to say. How about I hope everyone has a great week.
We must discover a way to return to our positive matter universe.
I was like, is he going to play something different or the same? He played the same thing. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You'll never hear from us again. It should work, yes. But any miscalculation anywhere along the way, and we'll be plunging tail first into a supernova.